Hey guys, welcome back to Average Home Theater. I'm Nelson.
I'm Donovan.
And today we're going to talk about our 10 favorite movies. These are not necessarily what we think are the greatest movies of all time, just what's my favorite 10 movies and what are his favorite 10 movies. It's kind of hard to come up with 10 when you like movies as much as we do.
We tend to go down a road that'll drain the battery on a phone.
Yeah, we go down that rabbit hole. We spoke for an hour yesterday, but we try not to give each other's answers away because we wanted to have a little back and forth. And it's been like 2 weeks because Donovan went on vacation.
I did. We went up to Gatlinburg, and we had friends that live up there, and we stayed over there. And my wife drove the Tale of the Dragon, also known as Deals Gap, in tribute of her late uncle, who passed away driving his motorcycle on the Deals Gap. And we had a great time. Yeah, it's a very... If anyone's ever looked at that or driven that, it's a very interesting experience and everything. So I encourage you to check that out.
Cool. Well, I won't. But maybe all somebody right. else who's watching will. Maybe
so. Make sure you have good traction.
Yeah. No, that's not for me, but that's pretty awesome that she did that. You know?
Yeah, it was good for her. She enjoyed it. You know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, well, I guess we'll get started. These are going to be in no particular order. It was hard for me because at first I thought about it, like, what's... going maybe like 10 through 1 or whatever, but I couldn't come up with a ranking necessarily. So I just said, we'll just do 10 movies and go from there.
Yeah, and I'll be very honest with you. Out of my 10 movies, a couple of them come from either trilogies or mm-hmm. six movie sequences. Right. And I may reference a movie, but in general, it's almost one of that trilogy or one of that six movies. Mm-hmm. You know, not too many of them, but a couple I noticed because I started thinking about my choices and was like, but I also watched this one mm-hmm. from that trilogy as much, or that six movie set. So anyway, these are what I go to. Like okay. when I'm home and bored and I get home from work and I've had a rough day.
Just pop it in.
These are my go-tos. Right. They have multiple mm-hmm. scratches on the Blu-ray disc.
Well, if you're watching on the video, you can see I'm wearing a Ghostbusters t-shirt. Oh. I have a little Ghostbusters nightlight here that I bought on Etsy. Oh. So Ghostbusters is going to be my first movie. So I guess number 10, I'm gonna go with Ghostbusters. Like I said, it's not necessarily ranked number 10, but we're right. just gonna go number 10.
Right.
So I got Ghostbusters. Do you like Ghostbusters?
Oh, who doesn't love Ghostbusters? Especially
I think
the
there
first
are some people. I got friends, nobody that's usually watching this show, but I have friends who, you know, don't like it, thought it was stupid. I don't know.
Well, they're just not good friends.
I guess not. I have to think about my friends.
I mean, but even yeah. my wife loved. In fact, my wife is a bigger fan of Ghostbusters than I am, and I loved it. I had a little Egon action figure when I was a kid, and you know, Slimer, and I mean, mm-hmm. they're Bill Murray.
Yeah, we had Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah,
and I think we had Egon and Peter.
Yes.
Yeah. My brother has them, but he also started collecting the new figures and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he's got them all. He just got Walter Peck yesterday.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I didn't even know they made all of those. But he's into all. They say my stuff is our old stuff. I don't have any of the new.
I don't even know what happened to Egon, and he had this swivel thing for the
proton pack. It was like a little green squiggly stick, looked like a straw, and you just pressed a little thingamajig, and it would like spin like that.
I have a memory of KB Toys, and I wanted to get one. Ooh, that day, and we just didn't have the money for it, you know. And so the next weekend, when I was in Lafayette, because, you know, I grew up in the country, came to town, and she picked it up. My mom did while I was there. And it was Egon, and mine was my favorite character, Egon.
They didn't necessarily look like the movie Ghostbusters. They looked like the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Cartoon, that is exactly right, yeah. But yeah. I liked the original movie, and I think it's excellent. It's not mm-hmm. one of my go-to top tens, but it's probably, to be honest with you, in my household, played as if it would be one. My mm-hmm. wife watches a lot, and I sit down and I love it.
Yeah,
love it.
No, it's one of my favorites. And the crazy part is, you know, it came out in 84. Well, I was born in 80, so obviously I didn't watch it when I was 4. I don't think I saw it until I was like 10 or 11. We were at a family function at my dad's cousin's house, so I guess, you know, like my second cousin, so much older than me. And of course, the kids, me and my brother, we were bored. So he's like, "Y'all want to watch a movie?" Sure. Mm-hmm. So I remember he pulled out. He had these drawers of cassettes. You know, you remember those sliding?
Oh yeah,
cassette holder. And he had the clear plastic cases, and he had taken them out the slipcover and put mm-hmm. them in clear plastic cases. He had a list. I think that was my inspiration for when I started collecting. But anyway, and he was like, what about Ghostbusters? And I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I'd seen the cartoons, but I'd never seen the movie. And he popped it in, and I was hooked after that.
I have no recollection of when the first time I saw it. And there was no distinct moment. And it may have been in chunks and pieces, mm-hmm. and then I finally got to watch it someplace. The only place I could think of was my first cousin's, which they had all the movies to everything. And they had HBO and all the subscriptions.
Oh, where you saw Predator, you said?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was at my buddy's house down the road.
Oh.
Yeah. My friend down the road, he had every VHS and beta you can think of. So it's quite possible I was at my buddy's house. Shout out to Link. That's his name. And watched it there. But I really don't have a recollection. It's Ghostbusters.
Right.
And what I'm hearing, don't speak it, Afterlife has the special mojo that the original one did.
I sure hope so, because I want to see it, especially after that 2016 debacle. Oh, I want to see it.
Can't
but,
speak it.
At least it's like a direct sequel to the first two, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I'm looking forward to that one.
Bill Murray's giving it his blessing. He said it's got the vibe of the first.
He also gave 2016 his blessing.
I don't remember that.
Bill Murray's a little cuckoo. I love him, but he's a little cuckoo. Yeah. You know, so what's yours?
One of mine would be Empire Strikes Back. I mean, I could just kind of go to the go-to. I mean, that's like, for a science fiction guy who likes Star Wars.
Well, I know it's one of your favorite movies because you send us pictures all the time where you're sitting at your house and you're watching Empire Strikes Back.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know. And I'll watch, and I like the Disney edition. I'll be specific as opposed to the unedited original OG cut.
Correct.
Because they didn't muck that one up. Lucas didn't too much. So you mainly get very good resolution in that one, and it's enjoyable, and it's not distracting with any external mm-hmm. CGI too much.
I mean, really, the worst part is Bespin.
Yeah,
is the worst offender in that movie.
Right.
They put all the extra
Cloud
City
stuff. With the Falcon, and all that extra Cloud City. So ESB, either version.
Well, for my number 9, I have A New Hope.
Oh, well, very well.
Which, you know, I love Empire Strikes Back. And there's no question that technically and just overall, it's the best Star Wars movie ever made, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think anybody will argue that. But my favorite Star Wars movie is A New Hope. I can just throw in A New Hope at any point, and I'll sit down and watch it all the way through more than I'll sit down and watch Empire Strikes Back all the way through.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You see, with A New Hope with me, I get up to about the point there on the Death Star, and it starts to Tatooine for me, and again in a lot of Star Wars movies, usually that opening planet they're on or focused on is where I like. Mm-hmm. And so same thing with that one. The opening with Tatooine and all the way up till, you know, they escape from Tatooine.
Yeah, because like the best part of Empire is on Hoth.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. But for some reason, Empire seems to hold me longer in the end than the other ones, and I don't know why. Maybe it's the asteroid chase because they're still mm-hmm. fleeing and that all that jazz. But Empire seems to hold me longer. But New Hope is my second most watched.
Yeah.
By far. Yeah.
All right. Number 9.
Predator.
Predator, baby.
I mean, all the one-liners,
mm-hmm.
it's just insane. And, I mean, really, it's kind of like Schwarzenegger said. You take the Predator out of the jungle, there's no movie, really.
Correct.
And so this is the iconic one. Everything else is a far terrible third cousin, if any cousin. And this is the cast.
Well, it's really the only good Predator movie.
It really is.
There's a couple that are, I guess, watchable.
Yeah.
But they're not by any means good movies.
The last one, the one with the autistic boy.
Because it's... you know, Nick, producer Nick and I enjoyed it kind of to make fun of it. And I mean, the continuity is really bad. The editing was just terrible.
It was terrible. He had like a whole nother movie going on, and they had to chop it all up mm-hmm. from what you read. There was like a space battle and everything.
Yeah.
You know, with Earth forces and stuff.
But man, Predator is first of all, it's probably Arnold's best movie he's ever made. Like, as far as like, quality for Arnold
and grit,
you know,
yeah
it's probably his best movie, and it is one of the best. It's up there with like Aliens, you know, as far as greatest science fiction movies ever made.
Yep. Easily.
Predator, baby.
I mean,
at the end when he takes off the mask and he just wants to fight Arnold, because he's like, it's almost like he's like finally a worthy opponent,
right?
You know, somebody worth going hand to hand with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my favorite part of the whole movie.
In the ensemble cast, and I know when you they did the other ones. A lot of the director says there's no way I'm going to even try to duplicate that cast, which I don't blame them. It's very hard.
There's
to
so
do.
Much testosterone in that movie.
It was. It can never be made again. No. But not in this time period, mm-mm. at least. Maybe down the road something will change. But I mean, that movie. If you don't have chest hair, you will by the end of that movie.
That's correct.
And be drinking Jack straight and neat. So. Predator it is for me.
All right, so my next one I have, you know, we just spoke about it, Jurassic Park. I guess there's not a whole lot we can say. We just did a 50-minute video on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jurassic Park is absolutely one of my favorite movies.
And if you look on my list, not only was Jurassic Park one of
you
my...
You also have A New Hope.
I have A New Hope down there, coincidentally. And my in a 10, in a top 10 of most watched. And Jurassic Park 1.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, oddly enough, I watched the third one more than any other outside of one.
One.
Just worthy, like, little comment section. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough. I call it the underdog movie.
Right.
You know. So you had Jurassic Park. My next one was Aliens.
Aliens. Yeah. We did a video on that. I mean, that's self-explanatory. It's a very easy movie. It's long.
Yeah.
But it is easy to get through. It doesn't feel very long, you know. When you
it's action packed.
Yeah, I mean, some movies you look at the length when you're trying to decide what you want to watch. It. Oh man, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. But Aliens is one of those movies you put it in, you don't even realize how.
I'm
long
getting
it is.
A futuristic kind of cannon machine gun that rides on the hip with a sensor screen on top.
Right, right.
I mean, Marines, tanks, the helicopter, multiple mm-hmm. aliens, the Queen. You just get the whole thing, you know, and then you got these Lance Hendrickson playing actually a good role with Bishop, and you got all kinds of things going on. So Aliens for me.
So next is one we haven't spoken about, Tombstone.
Ooh.
I love Tombstone. It is, you know, now Westerns are not my favorite genre, but I really like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I like them a lot. I like the probably 90s to 2000s. When the
yeah,
because I'm not a Clint Eastwood spaghetti western person.
See, I am. I'm a Clint Eastwood.
So I like a little bit more of the modern stuff, even though Tombstone was made in 93. I mean, Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday is what everybody talks about.
The cast and the story, though.
Kurt Russell was fantastic as Wyatt. Even Virgil, Sam Elliott. Fantastic, you know? I mean, that dude's so cool.
And your best friend.
Who's that? Oh, Michael Biehn, Johnny Ringo, baby.
Johnny Ringo.
Yep.
Who, on The Mandalorian, they said one of the things they never had to even coach him on was his gunfighter acting skills. Everything came natural as opposed to all the other actors.
I mean,
it's Johnny Ringo.
But I mean, he was Johnny Ringo. He was Corporal Hicks. He was Kyle Reese.
Thank you.
He was in The Abyss, the Navy SEAL that went crazy.
He was.
Whatever his name is. I mean... Yeah. That's what the dude does.
It's
you
fantastic.
Know,
shout out to Michael Biehn.
Yeah, my best friend. It's up there somewhere. Yeah. All right, next for you.
Let me see here. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh. Yeah, I'm a... Not by any means do I hate Indiana Jones. I mean, I have the trilogy mm-hmm. down there. But it never ranked high for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, whenever I watch them, I enjoy them. But most of the time, I won't watch the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get through about half of it. But of the three, I like Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade.
Last Crusade, yeah. There's, well, in the fourth one, Crystal Skull.
I said of the three.
Right. Now, he's very specific sometimes. Yeah, so Crystal Skull, obviously, you don't view it as part of that envelope. Ugh. Which it was rough. It really was. Temple of Doom is rough, but it's still pure.
I watched that recently because everybody, you know, that's the one I've seen the least.
Yeah.
And everybody talks about how it's,
you know. It's a prequel, too. It's not after Raiders of the Lost Ark. It actually takes place before.
It takes place before it, but mm-hmm. it's the second movie.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, I like the adventure.
Of course, producer Nick is going to correct us if we're wrong because he loves Indiana Jones. So if we're wrong on that, producer Nick, I'm sure we'll get reprimanded.
We'll get a comment in the chat. So for me, I love the adventure. The music, of course, you know, mm-hmm. it's John Williams. And I just like the character.
Well, there's nothing else like it, though. That's the best part about Indiana Jones to me. There's really nothing else like it, you know.
So disclaimer, this is a very weighted list for me because I was a Spielberg, Lucas, John Williams mm-hmm. kid, loved. the NBC Nightly News theme with, and I'm not promoting NBC at all. But they had John Williams wrote the theme, Superman, all these movies he wrote the theme for, and I'm a musician, so mm-hmm. you know
that's
my
big,
list is
big part for you.
Yeah, so my list is biased for mm-hmm. my list. Now, if I want to get pure about it, I can get pure about it, you know, when we do a top five or whatever. Right. But so, disclaimer.
Well, next is, I did kind of like you because I like all three of these movies the same. I can watch any one of them at any time, and I love them all the same, and that's Back to the Future.
Oh, that's a good choice, yeah.
I mean, I love Back to the Future. And it looks great and sounds great in 4K, by the way.
I've never watched it in 4K. My wife
just released a couple of months ago.
She loves watching it, and I like what's his name in it? He's
Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd.
Well, yeah, all the iconic actors in
Thomas
there.
Thomas F. Wilson as Biff, and all of his other characters. I mean, I think he's underappreciated at how well he played
multi-dimensional.
Like five different characters.
Thank
you. Know?
Thank you.
He was great.
It's an excellent movie. And
most complete trilogy out there. It has a beginning,
complete.
A middle, and an end.
It does.
You can't make a prequel. You can't make a sequel.
Nope.
I mean, I guess maybe you can because he, you know, but it would be terrible. And Doc is, you know, 80 something years old now. Christopher Lloyd, you can't do it again. So hopefully, I know he has it written somewhere. Basically, what's his name? Bob Gale has it almost like protected where it can't be done.
Kinda
him
like
and
Lucas.
Robert Zemeckis have it to where it has to be, it can only be them.
Lucas did something with his 1-6 originally before he sold it a couple years later. He said he had some kind of legal document created, and I assume he had it absolved to sell the franchise, but no one could touch after those six.
After he messed them up.
Correct.
Nobody
no
else
mess
can
them
mess them up.
Yeah.
Or just correct them and release it the way it was supposed to be released.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Just to be clear. But they can do that legally, so it's Back to the Future.
Yeah, they did that. So we shouldn't see any prequels, sequels, or remakes of Back to the Future. They should stay pure.
I enjoy watching them. Not in my top 10 for watch, but another one like Ghostbusters. Ironically, the wife loves that movie. It's played a lot in the house, and I enjoy watching it. Let's see. For me, my next one is The Dark Knight.
Oh, we were just talking about that.
Wear that Blu-ray out. You know, wear it out. I just love watching it. I love Heath Ledger's performance. It's a super dark movie. It's a very super dark movie. It's the Batman that has, you know, a beginning, end, and beginning, a middle, and end for a trilogy with the three movies. The Nolan, you know.
Well, I mean, he did leave it open for was it Batwing?
Gordon
whatever.
Levitt, whoever. Nightwing.
Nightwing, yeah. He did kind of leave it open for that, but I think it was supposed to be. I don't think it was an opening for a sequel. It was just
hope never ends.
Right. Yeah. Like this it probably will happen.
And nothing against Gordon Levitt. You could have carried the mantle fine as Nightwing, you know.
Right. I liked him. I thought his character was good in the movie.
Yeah. The trilogy in itself.
Wait, the last one.
Yeah. The trilogy itself is very excellent. But
I thought Batman Begins is my favorite.
You like Batman. And I like it, but my favorite, that's my second. My favorite, of course, is The Dark Knight. Yeah. That's where I go. What you got?
Men in Black. Number one.
Really?
I love Men in Black.
Really?
Actually, I like all three, but one and three are, of course, my favorites. Two is like the stepchild. But Men in Black, I love it.
No,
Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith together are just...
What happened in the third one? I don't remember.
The third one is with Josh Brolin playing him as a young man. Will Smith goes back in time.
Guy who shoots...
yes.
Yeah, things
yes.
out of... Yeah.
Boris the Animal.
Boris. I like that name.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah.
Boris the Animal.
Yeah.
So I love Men in Black, but I'm talking about the first one.
I agree with you. The first and third are the
one of my favorite movies.
The second one is almost like a smudge memory, you know.
Yeah.
But one and three are really good. Yeah.
I mean, Johnny Knoxville was in the second one.
No offense to Jackass.
I know
you're making another one,
still,
but yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Johnny Knoxville he doesn't belong in a Men in Black movie. Next,
Skyfall, 007.
Oh. I'm not a 007 guy.
See, I'm a huge, huge 007
fan. I don't have anything
fan.
Against it.
Yeah.
For some reason, and I guess I was at the right age when GoldenEye came out. I love that movie.
GoldenEye is iconic. Maybe the best ever.
So, you know, to me, and I know this is probably blasphemous for you 007 nerds, but I just, when I think of James Bond, I always think of Pierce Brosnan because that's the only one I've ever really sat and watched.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And for me, I'm just a little older, not much. I actually grew up seeing Timothy Dalton. Mm-hmm. And then when I got, I don't know where it was, maybe my grandmother's or again, my cousin's, they had cable. I didn't have cable. I make it sound like I grew up in a log cabin, you know, or something with no TV. But they had all the stations. A TBS or whoever would do the Bond for the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, when that thing
yeah,
started.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with three channels. I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. So, and then I became a fan of Roger Moore. I started seeing more of that when I was maybe just barely a teenager. And then, of course, you know, Sean Connery. And I just became a fan of it. I'm a fan of the 007 movies. I haven't read the books, Ian Fleming's books. I haven't read that. But I like all of them, even the worst of them, because I just enjoy watching right. it. But for me, if I sit down with a 007 movie, I'm in the mood for 007, and I just want to watch a good movie, Skyfall may be the best for me ever. I don't think it's in the top. I think it's like a top three in IMDb or DB.
IMDb.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's in the top three within maybe four. Editor Nick will get that.
Producer Nick.
Producer Nick, thank
See,
you.
See, you can't even get his name right.
I can.
You're going to get a knock on that one.
Explosion.
All right, so next for me is Commando.
I have not. I've only seen Commando once.
What?
At Link's house.
What?
We'll have to get a picture of Link.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because yeah, he loved Commando. He was a big Schwarzenegger fan. So
I can almost quote the whole movie. I've seen it so much. Look, when we were kids, right, I've already said we only had like three channels. We had a bunch of VHS tapes that had several movies on them. Somebody had recorded them off of HBO. And I want to say it was one of my mom's friends. She would record the movies for us on HBO because they could afford HBO. We couldn't. So I grew up with hundreds of movies, and there would be like three movies on a tape. Mm-hmm. And we had Commando, Police Academy 1, and Police Academy 2 all on one tape. And during like the summertime, man, look, we put that in.
Just let it roll, baby.
Just let it roll. Oh,
Doritos, yeah. Tostino's Pizza Roll.
Oh, we just watched. I watched Commando so many times, and I have it on Blu-ray, and every now and then I just pop it in. I have it, I put it on my Plex.
Is Alyssa so Milano in that
Yeah,
one?
She was like 12.
Bill Duke is in it.
Bill Duke, baby.
Oh, man. Iconic actor.
Well, that's the reason why. Well, and Predator's on my list as well. I mean, I might as well say that. That's how he got the gig in Predator.
Was from Commando?
Was from Commando.
So Commando was before Predator.
Right, 1 year before.
Okay.
Yep. See, oh, 2 years. Commando was 85. Predator is 87.
Bill yep. Duke. Who is the Australian guy? Didn't you meet him at a Comic-Con or something? Or wouldn't you?
Oh, that's, yeah, that's Bennett in Commando. And his name is Vernon Wells is his name.
And he's pretty cool, isn't he?
He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was awesome. He's the first celebrity I ever met. Like at the first Comic-Con that came to Lafayette, you and I walked in, mm-hmm. and he was there. And I was like, who's this guy? Because he looks completely different now. And when I saw, there was a picture of him from Commando as Bennett. And I was like, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, because some of those...
But he's in The Road Warrior. Different.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that with...
He's the one with the kid with the assless chaps.
Oh, boy.
Yep. So he looks completely
Gibson,
different.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got no mustache. He has like a mohawk and stuff. So he looks completely different in The Road Warrior. But so yeah, Commando. I love that movie.
Commando. So my next one is sticking with the Lucas theme, Return of the Jedi. While the very much the weakest of the three OG,
so you got all three in your top 10.
I got all three, man. I had my disclaimer, but that is the movie. So I'm 43. I was born in 77. And my parents did not. They're conservative Protestants. They didn't really go to the theater a lot, you know, growing up. And I don't even remember them ever taking me to see a movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, my parents never took me. One, we just couldn't afford it. My parents had six kids. So
yeah, right, right.
The few times I did go to the theater, it was by the time my older sisters got old enough to drive and to bring us, and we would go. But my parents never took me to the theater.
My first movie at the theater was that I can recall. Now, there may have been a school field trip or something mm-hmm. in between, but the one I recall the most is my neighbor down the road. They took us, I was 13 or 14, and we went and saw The Three Amigos. Yes, at the Dollar Cinema, and we were jamming to Brass Monkey and El Camino with his dad. It was, I mean, it was classic. You couldn't really wrote it any better. And I will always remember that good friend, shout out to Brad Salzman, for that. And that was the I remember.
The Three Amigos.
The Three Amigos. So Return of the Jedi, the first time I saw it was actually at school, at a little country school I went to. You know, you had field day and they had movies the last couple of days. You can do kind of almost anything. And that's what the movie they were playing in the library. And I saw it for the first time, and it had just been released the year before. I think I was in the...
So that's got to be around 84. It was released in 83.
Yeah. So I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade, somewhere around then. I think fourth, maybe third. Producer Nick will catch that with my age correlation. But I remember it. And yes, the Ewoks are kitty, but that movie just holds a place for me because...
I love it. I love Return of the Jedi. There's, you know...
Luke is awesome in that movie.
Yep.
He does awesome
Well, the Luke
stuff.
And Vader thing, to me, is what makes it, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Great movie. Next for me, you're probably not big on... I don't even know if you've ever seen this, but I love horror movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is my favorite horror movie, and it's Tales from the Crypt: Demon Knight.
Oh, okay.
I love that movie. I can watch it several times a year. I don't know what it is about it. It stars Billy Zane, William Sadler, Jada Pinkett Smith, CCH Pounder, and I forget the guy's name that plays the old drunk. But anyway, Demon Knight, it's great. Especially if you like Tales from the Crypt stuff.
Yeah.
Do you like Tales from the Crypt?
No.
Or you never really watched it?
No. I watched it. I watched the TV series, you know.
But this is like it's a full-length movie. It's not... an anthology type thing. It's one of two movies that they did.
Never did. Don't even know about it.
I think you would enjoy it. It's one of those
check it out.
Stuck in one place, have to survive the night type movies.
Oh, one of those? Okay.
Yeah. And Billy Zane is the bad guy.
Well, the actors and actresses sound really great. I like watching Jada Pinkett Smith. Billy Zane is Billy Zane.
And he's really good in this.
Oh, really?
Like, it's probably his best role, I think.
Really?
Absolutely.
I really like Billy Zane. He's a cool actor. Next up for me, sticking with this, let's stay with the Star Wars theme. Why not A New Hope? Really don't need to say much. We discussed it already. We just have that in common with it, and it is what it is. It's A New Hope.
And my last one is Beetlejuice. I love Beetlejuice. I love Michael Keaton, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's my favorite Batman. There's no question about that. And Beetlejuice. Because I like horror movies and stuff, I think when I was a kid, I watched it. And it's what you call like what do they call that? Like an introductory horror movie where it's not really scary, but it's scary if you're under the age of like 10.
Beetlejuice was fantastic.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like one of those introductory type horror movies.
Yeah.
And it's a little dark. It's weird.
Yeah.
You know,
but not nightmarish
kind of
stuff.
But not nightmarish and... Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice is just great. Even though I think he only has like 15 minutes of screen time.
He doesn't have a lot of screen time. Who's the gorgeous? Oh, I used to have such a crush on her. Gina Davis. Oh,
yeah.
Lord.
She was big, man.
And I used to think she was everything. And then William Baldwin is in it, right?
No, Alec.
Michael?
Alec Baldwin.
One of the Alec Baldwin. And of course, Michael Keaton. And it's iconic. It's if you grew up and
the
you have a lot of memories.
Ferris Bueller days.
Yes.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. What's his name?
I don't remember, but you know
he's the one that got arrested for.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he something to do with a minor male.
Really?
Yeah.
Producer Nick may need to edit this.
Well, I know what it is, but I don't want to talk about it. But
I didn't really know that.
Yeah, he got in trouble.
Really?
For it. Yeah.
Is he still acting? Did
he
still act
after this?
Yeah, he actually
is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he was.
Well, he did the whole series of Deadwood after that incident.
Really?
Because he plays...
I need to watch Deadwood.
He's
I've only seen a, just a
Deadwood
couple
is fantastic, but he plays the newspaper guy. Like, he writes the newspaper. He's in charge of the newspaper in Deadwood. So he did that whole series after that incident happened.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch Deadwood.
Yeah. What's the guy's name?
I don't know. Producer Nick, pop-up screen.
Yeah, we're going to have a pop-up screen.
I apparently must have had some Coke Pluses in my while I was doing my top 10 list because I have 11.
Well, which one? What?
Jurassic Park was next.
Well, you had that. Oh, Lord of the Rings.
So
I didn't talk about that.
So Lord of the Rings,
So that's your 11.
That's my. Actually, I can't fit 10 in. I really like all I have, but let's say it's 11. A Lord of the Rings would be 11, yes. So Lord of the Rings, even though it came later, you know, the movies did, of course, the books, you know. So I'll try not to spend too much time on it.
I am not a Lord of the Rings
man. The and you and I recently talked about a little bit, the Tolkien lore is so deep. It's probably the deepest science fiction novels.
For fantasy, though.
Yeah, for fantasy. Right. For fantasy. That exists. It really, everything else is not even, you can't, like Star Wars, and I love Star Wars, but it's like this compared to Tolkien. When you talk about the depth. Now they're building the Star Wars universe and all that jazz or whatever, and they go back, but Tolkien
wrote it from
scratch.
The difference is, Star Wars, they make it up as they go.
Thank you.
He actually wrote stuff out.
He did. And it goes for thousands of years.
I'm going to need another Coke Plus if we're going to talk about Star Wars.
Oh man, more Coke, more Plus than Coke. So, The Lord of the Rings, you got the three movies that came out in the early 2000s.
And you really can sit down and just, at any point in time, just
at any point in time, I'll pull one of them. Yeah, I'll pull one. Now, more lately than in the past, I didn't watch any of The Lord of the Rings, I think, in a theater, the original three. But then I had a friend of mine who had them on DVD, and I started watching, because he was big into them. And I'm like, what have I missed? And then I got big into them, and I just kept watching them and rewatched them. And then recently I saw the director's cut, the extended versions, which are phenomenal for The Lord of the Rings. And then, of course, The Hobbit came out, which is a prequel. Because, you know, that's how they do it. You know, prequels come out later. And phenomenal. Probably the best story arced six movies I have ever watched that
tell
a full story.
But it's easy to do a prequel when the material is written out.
That's correct, because the material was all there.
You don't George Lucas it.
Thank you. So Jackson just had to kind of bring the material into a movie. He didn't create it.
Right.
You know, he shifted some things and whatever, but he basically took what was there and put it into a movie. And the lore is so thick, it is just rich, and the movies are very much rich. Now, I like knights and armors and elves and all that stuff, medieval stuff and the fantasy and stuff. But for me, Lord of the Rings not only is my 11th movie, and it could be any of the Lord of the Rings, not any of the Hobbits. I like the Hobbits, but specifically the Lord of the Rings. But it's probably, and we'll leave this for another day to lead on to a sequel discussion. For me, it's the best science fiction set of six movies, period, telling a singular story, or two small
fantasy.
Stories.
You keep saying science fiction.
Fantasy. Right. Two stories that are part of the same larger story.
Okay.
And God help us for whatever Netflix is about to do with it.
Yeah, Netflix ruins everything. Man, the Fear Street stuff on Netflix?
Garbage.
Donkey poo. Really? I did a review of 1994. The second one I watched out of morbid curiosity, and it was terrible. And I didn't even bother with the last one. What I find interesting is all of my movies, the youngest one is Men in Black, 1997. What does that tell you about cinema?
Oh, recent cinemas.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
It's awful. It's terrible.
It's awful.
There is no movies made my top 10 as far as just favorite movies to watch past 1997.
I mean, The Lord of the Rings for me was in the 2000s, but, and of course, I think you may, producer Nick may find something else.
Well, I thought it might have been late 90s for the first one.
For the first one, yeah. And then Skyfall came in the 2000s or whatever, 2010. But when we're talking about those two latter movies, they're really based on characters and stories
that's
that have
been
existed
in existence
for 50, right. 60 years. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's nothing. So a good example would be that when I made the comment about they'll never be able to make a Predator, at least not in this generation, of what's going on now in climate for things with culture and stuff, because they're just too worried about offending people.
Right.
For,
or it's too masculine.
Better or worse, or it's too masculine. Masculine. It's too
right.
masculine. So, I mean, if you're a guy or a girl who likes badass action, you know.
Those days are almost gone.
Yeah. See also mid to early 90s on down. Because those days are dim. We have action, but it's not what it was in the 80s, you know. And I'm not saying movies should be offensive to certain cultures and certain persons or anything like that. I'm not saying that. And some people may contradict me on it. I'm just saying that people are too easily offended nowadays. Right. And so the movies that really pushed the envelope, that made them the badass movies they were back in the gap.
Well, back in the day, when they made movies, they just wanted to make a movie.
Thank you. It's about the art.
Now it's, well, we got to check these boxes on what social thing we want to, you know, make a point on. So they have to squeeze that in there and shove it in your face, no matter if you agree with it or not.
Political ideology.
But they're going to put it in there because they feel like they have to now, and I don't understand why. No, I want to watch a movie.
Thank you. Tarantino had that, you know, you and I talked about it. He had that exchange at one of the press briefings for his movies, and I forget which place it was. You can look it up. But and without getting into too much detail, they were trying to pin him and kind of saying that he relegated Margot Robbie's role because she was a female. And he basically flipped the script on the reporter who was trying to pin him in a trap to make that statement. And Tarantino went on to say later about that experience that, you know, that this is a period of time to where ideology is trumping art. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, and he thinks it's only going to last maybe 10 years, but it's very much so the movies that once made the industry, which was based on art and what the director wanted to produce and what they work with and the script and the writers, which was about art, is now dictated by ideology and social climate, you know.
And I mean, so many movies are just, they spend all this money and they're just blah.
Oh, it's weak.
Aside from when they want to put an agenda in it, they're just not good. I mean, I watched one on Netflix recently. It's called The Woman in the Window or The Lady in the Window with Amy Adams.
Okay.
It had Gary Oldman in it and the girl, Jennifer Jason Leigh in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's son. The tall blonde guy.
Well, who's
he's in Overlord.
He's in Captain America.
Is he really?
Series that came out. Yeah.
So it looked like it was going to be good. It's Johnny Depp's Rear Window type movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where she's in the house, she's a little cuckoo, and she sees a murder through the window, right? But then the whole time did she really see it? Anyway, the point that I'm getting at, I'm not reviewing that movie. The point is, it's terrible. And as much money is spent on these movies, that is an all-star cast. That movie was not cheap to make. They put it out on Netflix, and it's terrible. So they're going with this. We're trying to put out as many movies as possible so we can have content, but nobody's worrying about the quality of movies they're putting out. It's quantity over quality right now, and streaming is killing cinema. I really do. I love the convenience of it, but it is killing cinema.
Art is gone. Art, as far as motion picture, is almost totally out the window.
Right. So anyway, well, that took a turn for the dark side.
Well, that's just the time we're in.
we want to keep it light. So that was our list of favorite movies. Y'all may agree, you may not. This is not by any means what we're saying you should like, but this is what we like, and this is the era we grew up in, the 80s and 90s, and obviously that's what we think are our favorite movies. We're gonna put together a top five, what we feel are the greatest movies ever made.
Right. Not the most, what I play in my Blu-ray player or stream. The greatest,
correct,
period.
And to be honest with you, I don't think any of them are on this list, my five. I don't think any are on here. So,
yeah, I'm in a similar boat.
I can't wait to speak. That's going to be a good one. So, until next time, before, if you like this, please give it a like and share with your friends. And we're also available. I'm putting these on podcast. So if you have Spotify, Apple is not done yet. They're taking forever to approve the artwork. It's been a week.
Wow.
It hasn't been approved.
Wow.
But Spotify and a few other ones. The links are actually in the YouTube page for us. All you got to do is click on it, and it'll take you right to the podcast. You can listen to what we're saying if you don't have time to sit here and watch us. But anyway, with that, I'm Nelson.
I'm Donovan.
And we'll catch you next time. Thank you.